in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. How did he know that? Well, he's God, amen. Though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Let me preach to you tonight from John chapter 4. We'll read many other verses here in a minute, but let me preach to you on going through Samaria. Going through Samaria. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for your help tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this church and these dear people. Thank you, Lord, for their testimonies and others, Father, who could say the same thing. And Lord, we thank you, God, that you're faithful, that you're loving, that you allow us to serve you. The privilege it is, God, it's not a right, God. It's a privilege to be a part of a local New Testament, Bible-believing, Baptist-preaching church. And Lord, we thank you, God, for the privilege you give us to be a part of this family. Lord, I please bless, Lord God. Each one of our hearts needs you to speak to us, needs you to help us, and instruct us, and strengthen us, we pray tonight, through your Holy Spirit. Now, fill me, I pray. I pray you would stop these sinuses, these allergies, Lord, for a season. Allow me to do what you've called me to do here tonight, I pray. I plead the blood of Jesus, Lord God, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's a simple phrase in verse 4 of chapter 4. It's a simple phrase. It's a short verse. It would be an easy memory verse. Amen. He must needs go through Samaria. But quite frankly, it says a whole lot. It says a mouthful. Going through Samaria. He said, the Bible says in verse 3 that he left Judea with his disciples and he departed into Galilee. But he must needs go through Samaria. Now, going from Samaria, through Samaria, from Judea to Galilee, was the most direct course. When you look at a map, you have Judea up north, you have Galilee, but then you go through Samaria. It's pretty much a straight line. But there are other ways to get there, going around Samaria, and they were less direct. But this was the shortest distance, and you know that it's pretty much self-explanatory. The shortest distance between two points is a straight line. Amen. It's a straight line. Even though this was the shortest and the most direct way to make this trip, however, the Jews avoided Samaria. The Jews avoided this area, this town, this region called Samaria. The Samaritans were not the Jews' favorite people. They considered the Samaritans unclean. As a matter of fact, they even considered them unclean, just like they would not eat swine. They would not associate with Samaritans. Now, is that right? Is that proper? Is that racism and all that junk? But no, that was Jewish law, that they were not to mingle with other well, people of other gods. Let's put it that way. And what the Samaritans were a people that had been raised up through intermarrying Jews and Assyrians. So they were no longer, let's call them pure blood or pure bread. They were no longer Jewish people. They were mixed with Jews and Assyrians. And if you know anything about Assyria still today, fierce enemies of God's people. And during captivity, and when the Assyrians came down and took over Israel, which was the northern kingdom, then Babylon came in and took over the southern kingdom, Judah, about 100 years later. But during that time when Assyria had taken the northern kingdom captive, well, they began to intermarry with the Assyrians. And the race, if you want to say, of Samaritans resulted from that intermarriage. And then, of course, they had children and they continued to intermarry and mix marry and things like that. Well, that was severely forbidden by God to marry any other race other than Jews. It was forbidden by God, because those people were not godly. Those people did not worship God. Those people did not serve God. They had their own gods. So you try to mix Antichrist with Christ, you get a big mess. You try to mix pagans with Jehovah worshipers, and you have a big mess. Well, let me tell you this. There's a principle in the Bible that when you mix clean with unclean, you always get unclean.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? When you mix when clean touches unclean, it does not clean the unclean. It blemishes or defiles the clean. Okay? I always like the example of this time of year is a good example. When you have a sick baby and you put that sick baby in a nursery of healthy babies, you don't get a healthy baby. You get a nursery full of sick babies.
Yeah.
Okay? Because cleanliness does not necessarily rub off, but germs do.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay? So the Samaritans were not a lovable, as far as the Jews go, they avoided, I mean, instead of going through Samaria to get down to where they would take separate routes and go around Samaria just for the sake of not having to go through that area. It was but Jesus said something here that we need to take note of and listen to for a few minutes tonight. He said he had to. It was a need. It was part of his plan. It was something that he had to do. He had to go this way. Jesus never did anything that wasn't God's perfect will.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus never did anything that wasn't God's perfect will. As a matter of fact, Jesus never did anything that did not please God.
That's right.
That's what he said. He said, I'll do always those things that please my Heavenly Father. So Jesus did not do anything that was wrong against God or ungodly or against God's will. There was a purpose to what Jesus was doing. And he said, I must go through Samaria. Now, it's interesting to me because the Jews, his disciples, I always think about them, of course, because they were with Jesus, and but they weren't Jesus. They weren't perfect, and they knew, though, that Jesus was going to do what Jesus was going to do. So they went with him. And I just want to, for a few minutes tonight, I want you to think about it, briefly look at here at how sometimes the will of God, listen now, the will of God, the perfect will of God, even that which pleases God, takes us through Samaria.
Yeah. Right.
Takes us through somewhere that we would otherwise not personally choose to go through. Takes us to a place where we would not personally, if we had to choose, if we had our druthers, we wouldn't necessarily go there. I'm telling you tonight that Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria.
Amen.
This was an undesirable place. But Jesus said, guys, I must needs go, and you're with me.
Amen. Yeah.
Tonight, you know, does it ever feel like you're swimming upstream constantly?
Amen.
Does it ever feel like you're going against the grain constantly? But yet you're, as far as you know, to the best of your ability, you're following Jesus.
Amen.
Now, again, these disciples were following Jesus. Jesus, the one, lead them through Samaria, which normally would have seemed like, what is he doing?
Yeah.
Those disciples are looking at each other and saying, we must needs go through where? Doesn't he know? Yeah, he knows.
Amen.
Church tonight, listen to me. He knows.
Amen. That's right.
He knows. Samaria is not a desirable place for a Jew. It was unclean. It would have been something that they would have avoided. And you and me know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. If you've been saved for 30 seconds, amen. You know what I'm talking about. That when you get in the will of God, I want you to notice some things that happened to Jesus. Now listen, this is just going to be very practical. But I want to help you tonight. I just want to be a blessing. Some things that happened to Jesus. Listen, now don't forget, he was in the perfect will of God. And some things that happened to him, some things that will happen to you.
Right.
And me.
Yeah.
Because there are days where we have to go through Samaria. There are seasons, there are times in our Christian life where we have to go through Samaria. Number one, look in verse 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Joseph's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So in the perfect will of God, the first thing I see here is that Jesus was weary.
Yeah.
He was weary. Can I tell you, he was flat out tired. Like some of you right now. But please, keep your eyes open, amen, so I don't have to come down there and preach right in front of you. Amen. He was tired. I'll give you the allergies, you give me the sleepy eyes, and we'll see what happens. No, I'm just kidding. He was weary. He was worn out. I mean, come on. He had been up there in Judea. He'd been baptizing. People had been getting saved, and him and his disciples are baptizing. He's doing the work of God. He's in the ministry, don't forget. Now, some of you don't think, or maybe you don't understand what that really means, but ministry is more than just, you know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. It's every day, all day. Amen. But Jesus was in the ministry. His disciples were in the ministry with him, but quite frankly, when they got to Samaria, Jesus was physically weary. He was physically tired. But don't forget, he was in the perfect will of God.
Amen.
Okay, in the perfect will of God, your body is still going to get wore out. There's going to be times where you're just going to get wore out. Your journey is going to weary you. It's not necessarily because you're in sin. Now listen, if sin has wearied you, then you know that this doesn't apply to you. But if you're doing what God tells you to do, you're trying to be the person and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I imagine his feet hurt. I imagine his legs hurt. I imagine his back hurt. They didn't have shoes like we have today. Amen. And I thank God that maybe I'm glad that I wasn't born back in those days. I had to wear all these weird shoes and all these inserts and arch supports. And thank God I wasn't wearing those little Jerusalem cruisers back then. I wouldn't have made it. I'd have been crippled by the time I was 3. But I'm sad. But Jesus was weary. He was tired. I imagine his head may have even been pounding. I mean, listen, he just had, he was a sinless body, but it still suffered and felt every other emotion and every other part of this life that you and I feel. And in the very dead will of God, he was weary. Now the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." So, now wait a minute, so was Jesus, the Bible says, "Be not weary in well-doing." But was Jesus somehow contradicting the Bible there? Of course not. We know that. We know that that possible. But what I'm trying to say is, what Galatians 6, 9 is saying, if you know your Bible, many of you are probably thinking about that verse. Well, wait a minute. Jesus was weary, but God says, I'm not supposed to be weary. You're right. You're not supposed to stay weary. You're not supposed to live weary. Okay. Now, so when it says, "Be not weary," let us be not weary in well doing. Being weary is a constant, perpetual thing of just being worn out, being physically, emotionally, mentally, just unable to do, inadequate to do anything for God. But this is not the case with Jesus. Okay, this is just a result of his journey. Okay, this is not something that he was constantly in the middle of weariness. We know that. He can't go against his own word. So don't think that Jesus being weary means, well, I'm just going to be weary every day. But it's not to be a continual state of mind. And I'll get to that in a minute. It can't be a continual state of mind. It can't be a continual spirit of weariness and depression and discouragement. That's not what I'm talking about. It's just in this particular day, on this particular day, in the middle of this particular journey, in this particular situation, he was wore out. He was physically worn. The results of his journey had tired him out.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
That's right.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, when Brother DeShazo called me, and I was already, you know, in the middle of this and pretty much ready, but Obviously, I thought, wow, there's a man who, as far as I know, is in the middle of God's will as long as I've known him. And now he's laying in a hospital bed. And, you know, and I'm saying, he didn't do anything wrong. But that step, this step in his journey has led him to a place where he is now weary. I mean, very weary. Now, notice also in Jesus, in perfect will of God, going through Samaria, going through this time of really undesirable journey, if you will. Look in verse 7. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. He was thirsty. He was weary. He was also thirsty. He wanted some water in that well. He didn't have anything to get it out. I mean, he was God, I know that. But he didn't have anything, any physical instruments to get down in that well and get that water out. He was thirsty, though. His mouth was dry. He was suffering a little bit here physically. That's all I'm trying to say to you. He was going without. Well, you listen to, he was going without. I want you to notice in the very next verse, the Bible says in verse 8, his disciples were gone away in unto the city to buy meat. To buy meat means they were going to get, you know, Big Mac. They're going to get a Whataburger. They were going to get whatever it is that you like to eat, a Whopper, I don't know, but they were going to get lunch.
Right.
It was high noon, by the way. It was 6 hours, noon. It was noon o'clock. What does that mean? That means they were all hungry. That means he was hungry. He was thirsty. He was weary. He was hungry. Now, wait a minute. Now, if we can make some spiritual application there, in the dead center of God's will, he was thirsty, he was weary, and he was hungry. He was wearied, he was tired, he was feeble, he was frail. He was thirsting for something that he did not have. He was hungry for food. Listen, they were all to a point where they needed some physical re-energizing.
Yeah.
Have you ever felt like that?
Amen.
Have you ever felt like that? How about, listen, I'm just being practical as I can be tonight. It's not real deep, amen. But physically, I mean, your body still has to go with you when you serve God.
Right, amen.
I know, we walk with God and we better, and we pray and we better, and we read our Bibles and we better, and the more the better. Amen. And we serve God and we go soul winning and we better. The more the better. And we're faithful to church. Amen. And we better. The more the better. But the fact is, in doing so, and we got to go to work and we got to go to school and we do the things that we have to do. We got to go grocery shopping. We got to do this and that and the other. We got to clean the house. Amen. We got to care of all the churches. Amen. We got things to do. But in the process of that, we find ourselves weary, hungry, thirsty.
Yep.
But I want you to notice, next thing I see here is, it's just a simple thing, but maybe, I think this is probably even harder than those other three because, you know, you can get yourself a nap. You can get yourself a nice cold drink of water. You can get yourself a cheeseburger or a nice piping hot homemade lasagna.
Hey, man.
Amen. Lasagna.
Amen.
I don't mind. I don't mind even a nice homemade pan of meatloaf. That's fine with me too.
Amen.
Pot roast.
Well.
I hope y'all have eaten already.
Come on.
I'm making you good and hungry, ain't I? But you know, you can fix those things. But in there times in your life where you just you don't have the needs to get everything that you want. You have to kind of go without a little bit once in a while.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? You have to go without a little bit once in a while.
Yeah.
Maybe you lose your job. Amen, Brother Josh. And you guys, sometimes things like that happen. And you find yourself wondering, what's going on here? I've got a family to feed. I've got children that, they still need to eat. And I've got bills to pay. And when, you know, all that pressure starts to wear on you. It starts to make you weary.
Right. Amen.
But then I see something else here in verse 9. Then saith the woman in verse 9, he'd ask her for a drink. Then saith the woman in verse 9, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. See, right there it is. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well's deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Let me answer that. Yeah, much greater. Which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle. Amen. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Amen. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She's still thinking about that well. Now, in all of that exchange between her and Jesus, here's what I want you to see. Not only was he weary, thirsty and hungry, but now he's completely misunderstood. Anybody relate? Now he's completely misunderstood. What he's you know, if it was me or you, we're there on purpose. I must needs go through this Samaria. I must needs go through this. I must needs go through this. But now I'm weary. Now I'm hungry and I'm thirsty. And now I got this nut that I cannot crack. Amen?
Amen.
Now I know you got faces running through your mind right now. But you understand where you, it's like I'm here to try to help. I'm living for God. I'm living for Jesus. I'm even being a testimony. I'm telling people about Jesus. And they have no clue what I'm talking about.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Anybody can say amen right there?
Amen.
I mean, this woman is going back and forth. She's still talking about the well. And he's wondering, what is wrong with you, woman? If you knew who you were talking to, you know, like, you could see Jesus thinking, do you not know who I am? No. He said, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me to give you a drink of the living water. If you drink out of this well, you're going to thirst again. But the water I'm going to give you is going to be... And she said, okay, give me some of that water. Well, where is it? So I don't have to come back to this well again. Oh, my goodness. Completely. You know anybody like that?
Amen.
You know anybody like that that you try to talk to, and you're saying you're doing everything you can to be right with God, but you're back home. Maybe the bills aren't paid like they should be. Maybe the refrigerator's not exactly stocked.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the cabinets aren't quite exactly falling out of them because they're so full. And you're out knocking doors and telling somebody about Jesus, and they don't even know what you're. I mean, they're looking at you like a calf at a new gate. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, beloved, that right then and there is when you know, man, I'm going through Samaria.
Amen.
Right.
I'm going through Samaria right now. I'm in the middle of Samaria. He was completely misunderstood. I mean, this woman had an answer for everything he said. You ever met somebody like that? Well, here the Bible says, well, I know, but my teacher said that. Well, here the Bible says, well, I know, but my college professor said that. Well, here the Bible says, well, I know, but my dogs. I mean, they got an answer for everything.
Anyway.
Who cares what God says? I mean, I know what I've seen, right? Those kind of people. Completely misunderstood. But it wasn't just her. Look in verse 27. Remember, his disciples, by the way, they're gone. They're going off to get themselves something to eat. Verse 27, upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. So they don't understand what he's doing either.
That's right.
So not only is the world looking at you cross-eyed, the brethren are looking at you cross-eyed.
Right.
Now, listen, we have a good church.
Amen.
And I think most of you understand what it means. to do your best to live for God. Yeah. But you know, there's still people who every time you get on fire, or you feel like you know God's just really working your heart and laid on your heart to do something. There's somebody's always going to say, "You're going to do what?" Someone that's real close to you who should be supporting you says, "You're going to go where?" Hey, you know what? Many times it's the spouse.
Yeah.
Many times it's a child.
Yeah.
Teenagers, it might be your parents.
Yeah.
You're going to do what? You're going to go where? You're going to preach what? You're going to preach you? You're going to be a missionary? By the way, why are you going to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Saturday morning and back again? I mean, you're going to go to church again?
Amen, bro.
Are you understanding what I'm saying now?
Yes, sir.
And by the way, this might be someone who's just as saved as you are.
Right.
Just as saved as you are.
That's right.
But they don't understand you at all. You might as well be speaking another language to them.
Right. Yeah.
But it is another language. Jesus said, "I speak heavenly things, but your mind's on earthly things."
Right.
It is another language.
Yes.
But you know what? Jesus said, "I must needs go through Samaria."
Yeah.
It's part of God's will.
Amen.
Amen.
Preacher, I can't. I'm tithing. I'm giving to missions. But I can't seem to hardly pay my bills. Well, let me say something to you. You're not the first one. You're not the only one. And you won't be the last one. But that doesn't mean stop. That means you just need to go through Samaria. And understand, Jesus was weary, Jesus was hungry, Jesus was thirsty, Jesus was completely misunderstood by the world and the brethren.
Yeah.
Because most churchgoers are okay just there. But when God says, you know, hey, you know what it's time? It's time to get in over your head. It's time to trust me. And if I let you fall, like Esther said, if I perish, I perish. It's time for us all to get to that place where I say, okay, God, if I don't make this, well, I'm going to heaven. If I perish, I perish. But most of God's people, okay, down here, well, you know, I'm just going to be a church member.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me tonight? Every time God lays something on the pastor's heart, somebody says, "Well, we can't do that."
Yeah.
Oh.
True. I'm talking about a church member. We can't do that.
Right.
Well, I beg to differ.
Yeah.
Amen. Or like Sammy used to say when he was, "I beg the dipper."
Anyway.
Who's the dipper? I don't know, but I beg him.
Anyway.
We can't do that, preacher. It's not possible. Well, what God do you serve? I serve a one who says, with God all things shall be possible.
Anyway.
But yet, we're not understood. When you really stand up and start living for Jesus, I promise you, even the brethren are going to start looking at you weird and start talking about you behind your back.
Amen.
Amen.
Going through Samaria. He was hungry, thirsty, weary, misunderstood. I want you to notice, let's look down at verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband and come hither." He says, "You know, I'm tired of your lip. Go call your husband. Let me talk to the man of the house." Come on, ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm just kidding. The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said, "I know. Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly." Oops. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, Notice she didn't call him sir up to this point. She had not called him sir up to this point. Sir, I can see her stutter. I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Hey, wait, come on.
Yeah.
Now, so listen. He's also in the middle of Samaria, hungry, weary, thirsty, misunderstood. He's still confrontational with the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Folks, it ain't time to stop preaching against sin.
That's right. Amen.
It ain't time to stop preaching against sin. I don't care how dark Samaria gets. I don't care how weary, hungry, tired it seems to be, and how sorely misunderstood we are. If we stop confronting sin, if we stop confronting people with their sin, now listen, he didn't do it with a mean, angry spirit. He did it with compassion, but don't tell me it wasn't awkward right about there.
Right.
Hello.
Up to this point, we're talking about the well water, and Jesus is like, I'm fed up with this woman. Go give me your husband. Let's just get to the bottom of this thing.
Right.
So all of a sudden, he's confronting her, and I want you to understand something. Regardless of how uncomfortable it gets, regardless of how many people don't want to hear it, sin has to be confronted, or that person will never change.
Right. That's right. Amen.
What I'm talking about is repentance. There has never been, ever been a salvation, a Bible salvation, without first repentance of sin.
Amen.
That means turning from it. That means confessing it and forsaking it.
Amen.
Are you okay still?
Amen.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. I'm just going to go get saved and just cover my sins down here where God can't see it. And then when I leave home from church and I say my little prayer, I'm going to go back to my sin. No, you're not either. You're not going to prosper. I don't believe that salvation for a second, because God sees the heart.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. Come on.
And salvation is repentance towards God first, and then faith toward Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Now, repentance is not salvation, because repentance is something I do. But I've got to repent first. I've got to want to forsake. I've got to turn from my sin and then be saved through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Repentance.
Amen.
Well, see, that's what he was working on her. Okay, lady, listen. Forget the water. Forget the well right now. Bring me your husband. I don't have a husband. I know you don't have a husband. You've had five, and now you're shacked up with another one. Oh, okay. Sir, are you a prophet? Folks, you're going to feel like, because you're weary, tired, and hungry, and nobody understands you, well, I better back off of that sin stuff a little bit. Are you listening to me tonight?
Oh, man.
If you back off that sin stuff a little bit, you're just going to create another monster.
That's right. That's right. Come on. Come on.
That you're just going to create another liberal religious junkie. You're not going to create a... Listen, salvation requires, first of all, confrontation. Then there must be conviction of sin.
Right.
Then there's contrition. And then there's conversion.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Check it out. How about the Apostle Paul, for example? The Apostle Paul saw Stephen stoned to death and look up into heaven and say, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. I see the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God, and they're stoning him and they're biting on him with their teeth. And over here is a young man named Saul holding their garments, watching all of this. And boy, the Holy Spirit got a hold of his heart, because that confronted his sin and his wicked, evil heart. And he got fiercely angry and mad. And the Bible says he started wreaking havoc. He started going into houses and he started just hailing men and women into prison. He was fierce. He was angry. Why? Because he was convicted.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because he was confronted with his own sinful condition. And then the light showed up on the road to Damascus, and it brought him to his knees with contrition, and he said, Lord, who art thou? See, he surrendered. There was confrontation, then there was conviction, then there was contrition, then there was conversion.
Yeah.
Amen.
Where did he repent? On the road to Damascus.
Yeah.
Amen.
I mean, he didn't keep going to Damascus and keep on getting Christians arrested and taking them back. He didn't do what he was doing anymore.
That's right. Amen.
Because he repented. See, we have to face. Listen, but let me say number two, not just repentance unto salvation, but what about your own heart's condition when you know you're not right with God?
That's right.
And the Holy Spirit still faces you face to face, squares up with you and says, this is sin.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know what? That's what you need to hear.
Amen.
That's what we need to hear.
Yes, sir.
This woman needed to hear this. This woman was stuck and caught up talking about water all day long. This woman wasn't going nowhere until Jesus came to the bottom line. Listen, we're going to deal with some sin here.
Right.
Amen.
And then things started moving in the right direction.
Right.
Sin. You know, sin is the reason people go to hell. And it's sin, not God, sin.
Right.
The wages of sin is death. Yeah. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire because of sin.
Right.
But the reason people get out of God's will, same reason, sin.
Amen.
Sin.
That's right.
And the solution, listen to me, is the same for both of them. Repent.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
You know, it's no different for me. If you read Revelation chapters 2 and 3, there are seven churches in there.
Right.
Seven churches. And Jesus said, unto the angel of the church of so-and-so, write. And then he goes on and he tells them their condition. And then at the end he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, you know what? He's still talking to the angel of the church. He's still talking to the pastor. He's still talking to the leadership. Why? Because the man of God is facing repentance just like anybody else. And so if it's good for the man of God, it's got to be good for the people of God.
Amen. Amen.
What is? Well, I need to repent when I know there's sin in my life.
Amen. Amen.
If we don't, we're still going to argue about the water.
Amen.
That's right.
We're still going to be over here arguing about earthly things when God's trying to get us to heavenly heights. We're still down here wallowing with the turkeys.
Yeah. That's good.
Come on.
You know, God wants you to soar like the eagles.
Amen.
So even when I'm in the middle of weariness and thirstiness and hunger, I don't have my cupboards aren't stocked. You know, my shoes got holes in them. My socks even got holes in them. You know, my car don't have a whole lot of gas. I'm having a hard time making, you know, there's too much month at the end of the money. All of those things happen, right?
Amen.
So what should I do? Should I back off and just cower down? No. I'm misunderstood. I'm even maligned. I'm mocked. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to still confront. The real problem is sin.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 He was also, listen, he wasn't just confrontational. He was persistent. Look in verse 20. No, she says, sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now, wait a minute. What does that got to do with anything? Do you see this woman?
Yep.
What does that have to do with the fact that she's living with a man out of wedlock? And she's had five husbands. She just goes right to another. She's going another direction again. Even after she perceived he was a prophet, even after she tried to change the subject, where am I supposed to worship? What? Jesus, well, he answered her question. Yes, he did. In the face of all her questions, though, he stayed the course. He, in spite of all his own weariness, his thirst, his hunger, he stayed the course. He kept witnessing. He brought her right back. The woman said in verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is Christ. When he come, he'll tell us all things. And Jesus said, well, I'm right back here. Speak unto thee, I am he. He didn't stop. He was persistent. Even in Samaria.
Amen.
He was persistent. He was consistent. He stayed on course. Amen. Are you listening? Amen. He stayed with what brought him there. Can I tell you what? Listen, when he said, I must needs go through Samaria, it was because he knew that in Samaria, he was going to be fruitful.
Amen. Yep, good.
His life was going to bear fruit.
Amen.
Do you know what fruit is? Fruit is other souls. Souls. This woman heard that he was the Messiah. She heard, and listen, verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way. By the way, she stopped what she was doing. She turned around and went a different direction. There's repentance. She left her water pot. She went her way into the city and saith unto the men, "Come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" They went out of the city and came unto him. Boy, the price of fruit, listen, that's fruit. She was a convert, instant soul winner. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Instant soul winner. By the way, when a person gets saved and they really get it, that's usually what they want to do. They want to tell somebody else, and they don't want them to go to hell.
Amen. Amen.
Have you ever felt that way, like you want to tell somebody else about Jesus? Amen. Some of you are. Some of you are doing it every day you get a chance. I know that. But there's some of you, I wonder, why aren't you even, don't you even care?
Come on.
I mean, she left her water pot. Forget all that water conversation. She was converted, amen. She went into town, and she started knocking on doors and opened up doors. Hey, come here. There's a man named Jesus out here. This is the Messiah. He told me she was a soul winner.
Amen.
So not only did she get saved, but then the Bible says they all came out and believed on. And look, jump over to verse 39. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. Whew. You know why? Listen, because he went through Samaria.
Amen.
He went through Samaria. The price of fruit. Jesus said, "Abide in me. Abide in me." The price of fruit, however, is often higher than what we want to pay. Salvation's free.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
But then he says, "I'm the vine, you're the branches.
Right.
You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit."
Amen.
G-O, bring forth fruit.
Amen.
Salvation is free. It costs Jesus everything. I accept it by faith. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. It's eternal life. But you know what? In order for me to bring forth fruit, in order for me to be a soul winner, in order for me to have some souls on my account, it's going to cost me something.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, don't ever underestimate the value of every mission dollar you give.
Right.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
But that still costs you something.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm talking also about just the personal, one-on-one, confrontational soul winning.
Yeah.
That not only saved this one woman, but it led to many people in that town getting saved. Why did Jesus say, "I must needs go through there"? Because he knew that there was people there that needed to be saved.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It cost him something, though, didn't it?
Yeah.
He was weary. He was tired. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was misunderstood by the world and the brethren. You ever felt that's a lonely place? By the way, he was on that well sitting there all by himself.
Right.
Lonely place sometimes, just old-fashioned soul winning. You show up on Saturday morning, you say, "Well, good night, where's the rest of the brethren?" But the fact is, Jesus knew that there was people there. And can I tell you something? You have to understand that all of that, but none of that is permanent. But the souls of those people are.
That's right. Amen.
That's right. Amen.
How about you tonight? I mean, really, think about who's the last person you were really concerned for their soul, and you were willing to be weary, to be misunderstood, even to be hungry and thirsty and give up something to give to missions, by the way. I mean, you know, maybe I can't buy that Coke, or I can't buy that Snickers bar because I'm giving to missions. I'm going to have to go hungry. Well, come on. Really?
Amen.
That's not hunger. But you know, it may lead to a point where you listen, God, it just seems like this is not fair. You promised me you'd take care of my needs, but I committed to give this to missions, but now I'm weighing it out and it doesn't look like I'm going to have enough left. What do? I give it to God.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me? Amen. Am I boring you here? Listen, there's a price to pay for souls to be saved. That's all I'm trying to say.
Amen.
If you're following Jesus, however, you must needs. You understand? I must needs. I've got to do this.
Amen.
I've got to go through Samaria because there are souls that need to be saved.
Amen.
I've got to go through Samaria. I may suffer. I may hunger. I may thirst. I may be weary. I may be misunderstood. I'm going to have to be confrontational. By the way, that right there scares away a whole lot of people, but it is confrontational. It comes to a point where you say, if you were to die today, do you know 100% for sure, without a doubt, that you would be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or maybe do you have a few doubts? And they say, well, that's none of your business. Right?
Yep.
Amen.
Why do they say that? Because you just confronted them. Head on collision. We know the Bible says, awake thou that sleepest.
Yeah.
You know, somebody's got to wake them up.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus didn't pet her ego. He woke her up.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
She left her water pot. She said, what water pot? I don't know about no water. I'm getting saved. Amen.
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 Sychar was never the same. Samaria was never the same.
Amen.
I just want you to understand something, that serving God requires you to go through Samaria.
Okay.
Not maybe, probably not just once either. Probably not just once.
That's right.
But think about all the souls. By the way, I want you to look now. Verse 43. Now after 2 days, he departed. Hey, listen. Don't miss it. He didn't stay there forever.
That's right.
He didn't go. He said, I must needs go
through
Samaria. That means I'm going to go in, but I'm going to come out.
Right. Amen. 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 Amen.
Right? So when I'm in Samaria, which some of you are, you know, we're going through it.
That's right. Hey, buddy.
We're going through it.
Amen.
Man, good.
But you know, while we're here, hey, how about we try to bear some fruit?
Amen.
How about we try to, you know, be willing to sacrifice maybe a little bit of comfort and a little bit of our own stuff, and be willing to say, God, if you want me to be a soul winner, if you want me to confront them with their soul, I don't know what's going to happen, but you know, it just may be that they might get saved.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that soul's going to be eternally in heaven forever. When I get through Samaria and I get up to the rapture and go up to heaven and I look in the face of that soul, I'm going to realize, well, Samaria wasn't that bad.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Samaria wasn't that bad. And you're not even going to remember Samaria, I don't think.
Yeah. So,
what? Where? Samaria who? In spite of not being a very popular place, Jesus knew he had to go through there. Weariness, thirst, hunger, misunderstandings, confrontational, persistent. I mean, this guy's witness to it. Here he comes again. Hurry, hide. He's going to talk about Jesus again. And you better.
Amen.
You need to.
Amen.
Amen. Come on.
How do they know you at work anyway? Do they know you as that person that's always talking about Jesus? Or do you want to always tell them about Jesus? Good night. Don't you talk about anything else? No.
Amen.
I invite you to church. How's that? But you're going to hear about Jesus there.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about Samaria. It wasn't a pretty place. It wasn't necessarily where they wanted to go. But they went through it. And today, their souls in heaven.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right.
Because of it.
Amen.
Our Father in heaven, I pray for your help tonight, Lord. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, help us tonight to... I know there's some folks in here, God, going through Samaria. Lord, help us tonight to realize that there's a purpose. The purpose is still holy and divine and perfect and righteous. The purpose is still eternal, in spite of what we may be struggling with or having to maybe even sacrifice, give up in order to stay in your will. Lord, I pray you'd bless. Bless these that are here tonight. Help them to know that one day they're going to come out of Samaria. Even if it's for the rapture, God, they're still going to be coming out of Samaria. God, help us all to learn something tonight. To not long to leave Samaria, but long to win those while we're there. Yeah.